Could we all stand up and read the first two verses in your program? We'll read it once, then we'll read it again and emphasize fire. So read it once regularly. Come on, stand up here. Yeah. Okay. On one, three. One, two, three. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Let's read it one more time and just emphasize fire, okay? I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. All right, thank you. This is a quote from Jesus. You know, I sometimes think about the Lord Jesus as one of the most misunderstood people when he was on the earth. One time, there was a person that was undergoing in the midst of a long sickness, and kind of explaining the sickness to a friend. And then the friend said, last week I had a cold. And at that point, just realized that, you know, wow, you're talking about a cold? And this other person is talking about a multi-year, complicated sickness, you know, and there was just no understanding at all in that conversation. And it's really hard to find somebody who is kind of on the same page, is kind of on the same wavelength. Sometimes I realize the value of that, like, you know, when somebody feels exactly the way I feel. Oh, wow. I just can relate. Just can relate and can identify and can talk together and can understand one another. And sometimes people feel like they're just alone in a whole crowd of people. They're like, I'm going through this, and this other person, my friends, my whatever, have no idea. Well, so many times, when you see the Lord in his life, he would talk about the Father, and he would talk about his kind of perception of the world, and he would talk about his experience, and he would talk about all these things. And it seemed like almost everyone around him didn't get it. One time he was casting out a demon, and the Pharisees around him said, by the ruler of demons, Beelzebul, you cast out demons. It's like, no, you don't get it. Other times he was speaking a parable, and the disciples came up to him. His closest disciples came up to him and said, are you talking to us or to someone else? And then it's just kind of like Jesus was talking to his closest disciples, and they didn't quite understand. That was just a few verses. We covered that last week. Just the passage before. And it seemed like Jesus was just kind of in this world where he loved these people. He really loved these people around him. And yet at the same time, he couldn't convey, couldn't let them know really what he was about. And you think about Jesus, oh my goodness, if I've ever been misunderstood, Jesus has been misunderstood many times more. Many times more. He talks about spiritual things, about serving the Father, and people just didn't get it. He casts out demons, and he's accused wrongly. And he looks around to the people around him. And I think, in a sense, he just felt, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. And then he says this, I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. I have come to bring fire on the earth. How I wish it were already kindled. Amen. Amen. And he says somewhat the same thing in the next verse. I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. He longed to bring fire on the earth. And I go with the majority of commentators with this. It's not the fire of judgment. Vincent's, the fire is spiritual life. Alfred, the fire is the spirit. Gill, the fire is the gospel or the spirit. I like it. The fire is the spirit. Spirit. Spiritual life. It's almost like this. Like, unless you have fire in you, you can't be in this club. In this club. You know, like, you know, a person. I was talking to this lady this summer, and, you know, her daughter went through this whole experience and, you know, ended up in jail. And then she told me, you know, Rex, after that experience, I've joined a club. I didn't want to join that club, but I've joined a club. I've joined the club of parents whose children end up in jail. And I never imagined I'd be part of a club. She could talk to other parents who are like, yeah, I've gone through the same thing. I've gone through the same thing. It's similar with spirit, with fire. You can hear about the Lord Jesus. You can hear about spiritual things. You can hear about the peace, the presence, the grace, the longing, the beauty, the glory, the wonder, the marvel of Christ's presence. And unless you're in the club of fire or the spirit, you're just like, it's just like talking like, I just can't get there. And so you have the Lord Jesus, one with the Father, sent from the Father, and he was casting out demons, no problem for him, and he was coming in this way of grace, words of grace were coming out of his mouth, and people were just kind of like, there's a wall. They're not in the club. They're not in the club. They've never tasted it. They've never tasted it. And if you ask, what draws Christians? What makes a Christian really different? I would say this one thing, fire. There's some kind of taste that you get when you taste the Lord. Some kind of taste. And it doesn't involve a certain behavior, a good behavior, maybe. Does it involve a certain knowledge of this black book? Maybe. But it definitely involves taste. I have tasted the Lord. I've tasted him. And there's some kind of fire. There's some kind of fire. The fire is the Spirit, the Lord Jesus. Just finished talking in this phrase, in this section. He just finished talking about, you know, we are stewards of the, you know, and the master is our Lord, and he asked us to stay here and give people their food at the proper time. Give spiritual food to people at the proper time. And you wonder, how can a life like that be lived? You know what the answer is? Fire. And so this is kind of like a little window, this verse. This verse is a little window into the Lord Jesus. I like it. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. How I wish it were already kindled. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus. And this is not going to be, this is a little bit theological. I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you know who Jesus is? Jesus is this. He is God and he is also a man. He is God, and he is also a man. If you wonder, is Jesus part of God? And the answer is no. Jesus is the complete God. Amen. And then you ask again, is Jesus kind of a man? No. Jesus is really 100% complete man. And you wonder, how can man and God be together? Don't ask that question. The answer is Jesus. And, you know, when you're just looking at Jesus, when he was on the earth, when he was walking around in his, you know, in his ministry on the earth, he was a man. That means he could not be in Jerusalem and in Jericho at the same time. Why? He was a man. I can't be here in Cleveland at the same time. No, I'm a man. And can you imagine God being limited like that? Imagine. He couldn't be in Jerusalem and in Rome. So if you would want to hear his speaking, experience his peace, experience his presence, you couldn't do it in both places. Two people in both places couldn't do it. Also, because he was this kind of man and God, he was a real man and God, he couldn't be inside of you. Couldn't be. Sometimes I like to get inside my kid's head. I can't. I just want to like flip a few switches. I can't. And God can do anything, you know, but he was a man at that time, and he couldn't get inside of people. He couldn't get inside. So what could he do? He could just say words. He could just talk to people around him. And as he was doing that, he might have had the thought, I don't think anyone understands me. I don't think anyone understands me. Jeff, you might have thought, I don't think they get what they can get. No, they don't get it. And he had this kind of longing. Jesus had a longing, had a constraining, had a desire. He's like, I wish it were here already. I wish it were here already. I wish there were fire on the earth and I have a baptism to undergo. And what constraint I am under until it is completed. You know what his baptism was? His baptism was his death. And when Jesus died on the cross, you know, when he was, you know, hanging up there, and it was a time when all of the sins of the whole world were put on him, and he was suffering, he was full of love for the people that were around him, the wrath of the Father was just released upon him, and he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he underwent all of that kind of suffering for my sin, for your sin, for every little sin, for every gargantuan sin, for every besetting sin, for every mistaken sin. It was all laid upon him. And that's amazing. But you know, this verse shows us that there was something more that happened at that time. There was something more. It was not only a death for sins, although that is marvelous. But you know what? Jesus was no longer constrained after that death. Jesus was no longer constrained. I have a baptism. That's my death. I have a death to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. At one point, Jesus was just limited to the people that talked to him. And sometimes I wish I were there. I would just ask, Jesus, you think I should buy this car or the other car? And just let him talk to me and whatever, you know? Jesus, can you help me with this? I don't know what to do. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if we just saw him like that? But you know what? If we saw Jesus like that, he would be a Jesus who was constrained. He would be a Jesus like, no. You hear my words, but you don't get it. You know what you need? Fire. You know what you need? You need fire. And that fire makes all the difference. I know, I read the Bible with people. Sometimes I read the Bible one-on-one, two-on-one, three-on-one. And I read the Bible with them, and I can tell. Sometimes we just read the Bible. Ba 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 ba. So, how's the coffee? Just no. No fire. Other times, I read the Bible with somebody, and they're like, oh, the Lord is so amazing, so awesome. What's the difference? It's not like the one person is smart and the other person is dumb. It's not like the one person has more church experience and the other doesn't. No. This is beyond church experience. It's beyond intelligence. It's beyond almost everything else. It's just something like, I tasted God. And I want him. I just want to join him. I just want to. He tastes so good. It tastes so good. And what is the whole difference? And, you know, it's all fire. And the Lord Jesus was just around a lot of people. It's like, you know, I just long. I have come to bring fire on the earth. How I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to undergo and what constraint I am under until it is completed. If you look at this verse, I think when I was looking over this, I think this is the most important verse in the whole Bible. Why? It just explains Jesus. Number one, he wants to get fire, spirit in you. Number two, he was a man and he's God, and he was limited in the shell of his humanity when he was in his, you know, ministry on the earth. Number three, when the Lord Jesus died, he didn't just die for sins. It was like breaking the shell. And then what's it possible now? I can have the Lord Jesus right inside of me. And I can love him. I can be drawn to him. When he says, my Father, I've never seen the Father. But when he says, my Father, I can say, my Father, and kind of know what he's getting at. Let's just try that. Everyone say, my Father. My Father. My Father. I didn't teach you about the Father. But you know, the fire is in you. And you have a sense, this is my Father, my Father. He goes on, and, you know, don't think I came to bring peace on the earth. No, I tell you but division. Jesus is a very controversial person. You know, when there's fire in you, there will be some division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, two against three. There will be divided father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I've seen it. Not in a, I mean, sometimes, like, your mom doesn't like you because you're just such a disrespectful person. We're not talking about that. It's just like, all of a sudden, your life is in a different direction. I knew a Hawaiian, a Japanese Hawaiian, one time, skater, kind of a pretty, like, just pretty wild person. And he used to be the hit of the family party. He would play his little Japanese instrument, I forget what it's called, Japanese Hawaiian instrument, and there would be drinking and partying and all this kind of stuff. And then you know what? Fire came into him. More fire. Other kind of fire. And then all of a sudden he's like, I just don't like to do this anymore. No thank you. No thank you. You know what happened? Oh, what happened to that? He gave his life to the Lord Jesus. And there's just a different kind of thing. I didn't come to bring peace, but division. And then he just says, the Lord goes on. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. Similar with us. You go to YouTube, or you go to Google, whatever. It's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Do you know how it is? Jesus was standing right in front of them. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it. But this same group of people got it after he was crucified and resurrected. Some of the same group got it. Acts says they did. Why don't you judge for yourself what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is getting at, you know, on the one hand, he says, I want to bring fire to the earth. I've come to do that. I'm just pressed. I want to see that happen. And then he reasons, on your side, let me try a little bit more. Let me try a little bit more. You know, you look at a cloud and you say, oh, there's a cloud in the west. It's going to rain. You look at a south wind and you say, oh, it's going to be hot. And here you have, right here in front of you, right at this very moment, at this very opportunity, you have Jesus right here. How about that? How about that sign? You have Jesus right here. Then he says this, why don't you judge for yourself what is right? What about this? What about this? And he gives this little story. You know, your life is like this. You're walking on your way to the judge. And your adversary is right beside you. Your adversary is right beside you. It's like, this is your life. You're walking on the way to the judge. Your adversary is right beside you. And you're going to the judge. Wouldn't it be smart to try to be reconciled now? Wouldn't it be smart? Try to be reconciled now. The adversary is kind of like a picture of the law, of some kind of picture of the law of God. And we're like walking right beside the law on the way of life. And when you're beside the law, you're heading towards God, the judge. And the judge is just going to like ask you, were you according to the law? Were you according to the law? And it's kind of like this. What does it mean to be according to the law? That means every part of your life was righteous, was holy. And you may say, you know, I'm a pretty good guy, pretty good person. You look at my life, it's not bad. And, you know, I don't sin all the time. I'm not murdering constantly. I am not constantly lying. It's pretty good. And I like this illustration of kind of like this, because sin and what will judge us is not always so obvious. I like this illustration. It's kind of like this. I could toss, if you sit, pretend you're in a swimming pool, and I toss one basketball to you, one basketball, and I ask you, can you hold that basketball underwater? Can you hold it underwater? And you just like take the basketball and boom, you hold it underwater. And just imagine that that basketball is one area of sin in your life. And sometimes, if you concentrate, if you focus on it, you can keep it underwater. And then I say this. Okay, I'd like you to hold two basketballs, and I throw another basketball to you. And then, can you hold them both underwater? You gotta take care of not murdering. Okay, that's a pretty simple one, I mean, for most of us. Don't murder. Okay, remember, don't murder. Okay, and don't lie. Okay, so let me just work on not lying. Hold the other basketball. And then I throw yet a third basketball to you. And then, you know, that may be the basketball of, you know, don't look at a woman to lust after her. That may be. And you just, oh, okay. And then I throw a fourth basketball, and you just can, you know, if you concentrate on something, the human being is pretty strong, pretty strong. You concentrate on something, then you're able to control things. And then maybe if I hold four, send four basketballs to you, one is under one knee, the other is under the other knee, then you put the other two under, one under both arms, or hands, and you go down. And then, how about five? Boom. And you may be very smart and able to bend your neck, something like that, and just kind of like keep it under. And then, you're doing pretty well. Then I add a little stress to the swimming pool. Maybe turn up the temperature of the water just to see what happens. And you kind of like get it all, you know, you still keep it under. And then I throw another basketball to you. Boom. Then you try to keep it between your knees. Press it. Seven. Now you're seven. Then I make it really cold. Then one more. And you have it all. You've done it all by a lot of effort. And then one day, boom, pop. One comes up. Couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. And you start to realize, at that point, when you've been trying to hold them all down, and you can't do it, you realize the weakness of the human being. You just realize, oh my goodness. No, it wasn't because, it wasn't because I had bad intentions. It was because I was not strong enough nor capable enough. And it becomes obvious, you know, as a man, as a human being, I'm weak. And as that adversary walks with you, or swims with you, to the judge. One basketball up. You get this kind of sentence. The judge, turn you over to the officer. The officer, throw you into prison. You won't get out till you paid the last penny. How about being reconciled now? Chip showed me a story. I like it. Of a man who was in the hospital, dying in the hospital, in his 60s, I believe. And a Christian would visit him and say this, believe in Jesus. He will save you. And the man looked back at his life, and the man just said, you know, I haven't served Jesus even one day of my life. I haven't thought about him. I haven't given anything to him. How can he receive me? How can he have mercy on me? How can he, you know, offer me solace at the last part of my life? And this Christian prayed for him and went to him and said, you don't understand the mercy of God. You don't understand the mercy of God. Even though your whole life could have had no thought for God, could have had no nothing given to God. You know what? He is the God of compassion. The Father of mercy. The God of all comfort. The Father of mercy. And as you're walking in your life, you haven't given to Him. You haven't lived. There have been too many basketballs popping up too many times. Sometimes you even throw a few up. And you turn to the Lord. And you ask, can I be reconciled to you? You know what? Without even a thought, I pour out my mercy on you. I pour out my grace on you. This is the sign of the Son of Man. And then, in our age, at this time, you have fire in your spirit. And finally you realize, oh, this is what the Lord is. There's something burning in me. He had mercy. He had grace upon me. I'm no longer judged. I know the Lord. And when I say, oh, Father, God, you're my Father, I can relate so much to the Lord. Praise Him for His work in us. I'll stop there. We're going to just have some prayer.